So what happens is that the proteins aren't broken down properly, and it triggers the immune system to react.
Okay.
And so the increase in the protein in the wheat in particular, or in different gluten-based grains,
sure,
is too much for our bodies to handle.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of people who can handle gluten, and it's fine.
Right.
And that just means that the intestinal walls, what I talked about before, is the intestinal mm-hmm. walls will kind of open.
Okay.
And allow these larger, what they call peptides, through.
Mm-hmm.
And the immune system reacts to that because it's not supposed to be that big.
Okay.
And the walls aren't supposed to open.
Okay.
And in a person who doesn't react to gluten, the intestinal walls close back up. The peptides pass right through the intestinal tract and everything is fine.
Okay.
In a person who does react to gluten, for instance, the intestinal walls stay open.
Mm-hmm.
And the severity of the reaction or the type of reaction depends, according to Dr. Visano, mm-hmm. how long these walls stay open.
Okay.
And what kind of reaction the immune system, how many soldiers the immune systems go out to fight the enemy.
Okay.
So in celiac disease, for instance, the soldiers get confused and they think everybody's the enemy. So they start
okay.
attacking the intestinal walls.
Sure.
That's why celiac is so dangerous. Even a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of protein, tiny crumb that might have fallen on your fork or just a little speck can cause a reaction.
Well, you could have potentially cross-contamination, even if it wasn't what was prepared directly for you, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's a big problem with restaurants. It's a big problem with, you know, something that's being very highly talked about in the, particularly the celiac community, as far as Domino's Pizza coming out with mm-hmm. a gluten-free crust
right.
and having a big warning that people who have celiac disease shouldn't be eating it, but people who are gluten sensitive can.
Okay.
And I've come out and said this, and Center for Celiac Disease has also come out. I base a lot of my decisions on them because
sure.
they're the top researchers, and they've come out and said that they don't recommend it for anybody with any kind of gluten reaction.
Okay.
Because of the cross contamination.
Okay. Okay.
And because there's no laws for vendors, it's kind of the wild, wild west. It's
mm-hmm.
like people are just trying to figure this out. The vendors are trying to figure it out. And the community is really pushing to get a law
mm-hmm.
to say we need some standards so we can't just label.
So should preparation be in a separate area perhaps or something like that? Would that be enough to help that?
For gluten-related issues, you have to make sure that the utensils in the area are clean
mm-hmm.
and that the... for instance, if you're making a gluten-free pizza crust, the flour is going to be in the air.
Right.
And flour can remain in the air, some say 24 hours, some say 36 hours.
Okay.
And so if you create them on the same day or
mm-hmm.
even 12 hours apart,
sure.
you can have cross-contamination
right.
from that flour.
Okay.
And it will hurt somebody with celiac disease.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's something that I've never thought about. I mean, I see all the discussion going on about that,
right.
but it does make sense that
yeah,
there would potentially...
Would think of that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, you discovered in 2001 that you had these issues, and there's obviously others who are, you know, just discovering perhaps today that they've got the same issue. So what does one need to do? What's the journey from finding out that they have got this to getting themselves back on the right track?
Well, the first thing that you need to do is understand your reaction to food.
Okay.
So like what we talked about with flour, the cross-contamination of flour, there
mm-hmm.
are some... Kids in particular, if they have nuts or peanuts in the room, even in the room,
right.
A little bit of dust can cause them to have anaphylactic
sure.
reaction.
And I know there was stuff like with on the airplanes
right.
where they had an issue with serving peanuts on the planes, even if that person wasn't eating them because they were in the vicinity of them.
Right, right. And, you know, we should go back and talk about the increase in food allergies again
mm-hmm.
because there's more than just the protein increase. But
sure.
But what you can do, the first thing you really have to do is understand your reaction to food because there are so many different reactions that you can have, from the classic to the slow onset to,
mm-hmm.
you know, a sensitivity, which is an immune response,
right.
to an intolerance, which is how the doctors that I've consulted with are defining it as a digestive enzyme problem.
Okay.
Sensitivity is really an immune response, just like the others, only it presents differently.
Okay.
So you really have to, and there's a place in on the tender palate that describes this.
Okay.
But understand how you're reacting to your food and how much of an emergency is it.
Right.
You know, if you're getting tingling around your mouth or you're feeling your tongue swell up, mm-hmm. that's a serious thing.
Sure.
So you want to understand, find a doctor who understands food allergies, mm-hmm. All spectrums of food allergies, mm-hmm. from the IgE reaction, which is the classic, to the IgG reactions, to other reactions.
Okay.
So that you can really get down to the bottom of why you're feeling the way you're feeling.
Okay.
And is it a food reaction,
sure.
or is it something else?
Right, right, right. To zero in on that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you have to do is become an extreme label reader.
Sure.
And that is the most annoying part.
Most people aren't. They just pick anything off the shelf.
Exactly.
Right, right.
And I hate reading labels, but...
Sure. But you need to. You got to.
Yep. And And the thing you have to also remember is this whole issue of cross-contamination. When a food goes through the factory, and if it's, for instance, oats are often processed with wheat.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who have wheat allergies also have a cross-reaction to oats for different reasons from cross-contamination.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, then you need to have gluten-free oats, for instance.
Right.
Or a gluten-free flour. Different flours are processed
sure.
together.
Sure.
Nuts and flours are processed often mm-hmm. together. Peanuts are processed with a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, you have these giant pieces of equipment
right.
where your food is running through.
Right.
And how much stuff is left on that machine?
Right.
A lot.
Right.
So the next thing you need to do after you understand how to read labels.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first rules of reading labels is if you can't pronounce it, don't buy it.
Fair enough.
Right? That's easy. So go back to more whole foods, mm-hmm. and then you start looking at the processing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to get to know the vendors who actually have tested,
okay.
who have been certified in some way.
Sure.
And you have to join these groups and get together with... Mm-hmm. There are different groups. There's a great group called No Nuts Mamas on Facebook that
okay.
I follow. That they are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They keep each other informed about all different types of nut issues and help
okay.
each other with the kids who have the nut issues.
Okay.
But blogs like mine, but there's a lot of other great resources out there
mm-hmm.
to dive in there and start to learn.
Okay.
And learn who your brands are.
Mm-hmm.
Learn who the good brands are who are testing and who understand food allergies.
And who would some of those brands be?
Eden Foods.
Mm-hmm.
They, for gluten allergies, they test to 5 parts per million, is what I understand. Bob's Red Mill is fantastic. They have a separate facility for all their gluten-free flours.
Mm-hmm.
And they source right from the farm.
Okay.
Because there can be cross-contamination on the farm,
sure.
too.
Sure.
Because they rotate crops,
mm-hmm.
wheat crops get rotated with a lot
right,
of things.
Right, right.
And so they actually source down to the farm level.
Okay, okay.
There's a bunch of great brands out there, but those are the two that
sure,
pop into mind.
Sure, sure. This is Paul Jindrasiak with Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm joined in the studio by Beth Veltman. Beth has a website, thetenderpalate.com. It's a great resource for folks with food allergies and gluten issues. And you also see a lot of restaurants that have gluten-free options these days. And you're seeing those more so around Grand Rapids. Any
all
of
over.
Them that you think are really doing a great job here in town?
I do. I think the Essence Restaurant Group is doing a fantastic job.
They do Grove, Bella Vita, Greenwell?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
What they've done is they've really researched... they've researched... their products and Sanchez as well.
Sure.
Sanchez has really researched their products. They know what they've got on the shelf. When I walk in there, I can give them my allergy card. I know the chef is going to look at it. I know the chef is going to get double check it.
They're in tune with that.
They're in tune with that.
Mm-hmm.
I have confidence I can relax.
Okay.
And that's the most important thing, is a knowledgeable chef and a kitchen that is prepared, that knows, a kitchen that's prepared for flexibility.
Okay.
So if somebody can come in and say, I've got an allergy to six different things,
mm-hmm.
the kitchen knows what ingredients are in their product so that they understand
sure.
What they can use.
Sure.
And they base their menu on they have a small set that they can make. They can make gluten-free, they can make dairy-free, you know, always have items on board that...
they've got that flexibility.
Exactly.
Good, good.